Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and thanks for tuning in. We're listening and going to talk about a very interesting subject, differently wired. Raising an Exceptional Child in a Conventional World by Deborah Reber, R-E-B-E-R, founder of TILT, T-I-L-T, Parenting. And we'll find out what TILT Parenting is, because that's what's discussed in the book, if you will. There are 18 TILTs, which we'll get to some of them. This is 953B. Of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. The B's are always the guest segments. The A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. And by the way, the medical news this week and last week were exceptional, so you'll want to make sure you get the A segments and find out what that means for you. But let's go and talk about a differently wired world, differently wired, raising an exceptional child in a conventional world. Deborah, let's pretend I didn't read anything about this or read the introduction. How did you come up with TILT, and how did you get hooked on this subject?
Well, I am happy to be the mother of a differently wired son. I have a 14-year-old son who is neurologically atypical. And that means that for him, he is gifted and has ADHD and some sensory processing issues. And it's been quite a journey trying to raise a child who doesn't, you know, as I say, he's kind of a square peg kid, trying to fit him into the round holes of society and education systems. And it's been at times very isolating and overwhelming experience. And in going through that journey, sorry, did you want to say something?
No. What we should say is your child has, you call him exceptional in two ways, and we're going to let you talk about that, because he's not just one way exceptional. In fact, I think it's three ways exceptional. But go ahead. In going through the journey of dealing with an exceptional child, and we'll find out what you mean by that, you got involved in this, as I finished your sentence for you by mistake.
Well, you know, I just realized that I was feeling so isolated in this. But in reality, when I started looking into it, I realized that at least one in five kids are in some way neurologically atypical. So parents like me were actually everywhere. And so I actually created TILT Parenting to be a resource and a source of inspiration and great interviews with experts that could help parents like me have more peace and confidence in their journey.
So let's go and first say, what do you mean by an exceptional child, and what's the range of exceptionality?
So exceptional in the context of the subtitle for the book, it really just means, you know, going back to the core definition of exceptional, which means kind of not the exception to the rule, so different in some way. My child happens to be what's called twice exceptional, and that is a phrase that's starting to get more recognition, but that refers to someone who is either creatively or academically gifted, but they have one or more other neural differences, maybe a learning disability, you know, dyslexia or dysgraphia or ADHD or Asperger's or something else that either masks the giftedness or the giftedness masks the difference. And so these kids tend to be particularly stuck, and that's the category that my son falls into.
And so these are kids who are exceptionally different in that they may be exceptionally gifted, or they are exceptionally gifted and have some other different wiring, and that's the name of the book, Differently Wired. So how did you, one, find out your son was differently wired? And secondly, how did you come up with, and what do you mean by a TILT program?
Well, in terms of the first question, with kids like my son's name is Asher, with kids like Asher, they tend to have more invisible differences. So it's often something, and it was for me, that we discover over time. So, you know, we might recognize that our child is a little more intense, or maybe more precocious than his or her same age peers. They might be really excelling and above their peers in some areas, but really lagging in others. Maybe social skills aren't so great, but their coordination, or they might be early readers. In some way, they're just not following the normal path, and that's what happened with us. And for us, it was really when he hit the elementary school years, and we were just given a lot of feedback from his teachers that, you know, while he's very smart and was testing really well, he was really struggling to fit into the confines of a typical classroom. And that's when we started seeking more information. And to now, answer your second question, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now let's talk about TILT.
So TILT is not actually an acronym, which some people want to know what the meaning is, but TILT is more about shifting your perception, shifting your experience, shifting the way that you think about the journey that you're on as a parent. So the TILTs are designed to help parents kind of reframe the way that they are experiencing their life with their child, because many of us, when our child isn't kind of going down the path we expected, we tend to go into fix-it mode. You know, we want to do what we can to fit them in. We want to get them back on the path that we were expecting. And what I have found is that actually most of this is work that we can do on ourselves to reframe our own expectations, to TILT our perceptions of what we thought our child's life would look like, what we thought our job as parents would be like. And so the TILTs I present in the book are small reframes and ways to reconsider the kind of traditional parenting journey that we're on, and find more joy and peace within that.
So a TILT is a reframing that helps you find more joy. Now, so don't let me go other than, let's start with one of the TILTs if you can. So pick your favorite TILT.
Oh gosh, I love them all, but the one
we should say there are 18 of them, as I remember.
Yes, there are 18 TILTs. And they can kind of be read in any order, so wherever you are in your life. But the one I'll share with you is to let your child be on their own timeline. And that's something that can be really hard for any parent, right? Because we get feedback all the time of where our child is or isn't measuring up, whether it's the grades they get in class or when they're younger, you know, what percentile are they in height and weight, you know. We look at our Facebook news feeds and we see our friends' kids doing X, Y, and Z in their sports and extracurriculars. And we feel as though, gosh, you know, my kid is behind schedule or isn't doing those same things. And so this TILT is really about respecting where your child is and looking for areas of strength that you can continue to develop. And then slowly work on things that are some areas of deficit, but not push them because of some societal expectations, but rather kind of respecting where they are right now. Because our kids notice when we feel that they're behind schedule. I mean, even something as little as tying shoes. I hear this from parents all the time, because a lot of these kids don't have fine motor skills or they're lagging in that area. And so they might not be able to tie their shoes, but they're going into middle school. And that can be a huge source of stress for parents, even though at the end of the day, it's really not that big of a deal. They'll get it eventually. So I really talk a lot about not comparing and despairing with where our kids are and aren't in relation to everyone else, and really respecting where they are right now.
And so one of them is respecting where they are. Now, what do you do with school? Because the school expects them to be someplace. I know your solution, but what should other people do? And I think you really are have this, it's almost say no to, you've got to learn to say no. And am I ringing that up? And I would say no to the school that isn't doing what is right for your child.
Yeah, school's a really tricky conversation because, you know, the range of neurodifferences in these kids is so vast, and most schools weren't designed to accommodate kids who learn differently. And that is a real challenge. So, you know, we have homeschooled for a while. My son's going back into high school this year, so we'll see how that goes. And, you know, but there are many ways to work within the system. I think, you know, my son was in public school for a year, and within that system, many times if your child has a formal diagnosis, you can get an individualized education plan where the classroom can make certain accommodations to support the way that they learn or maybe some social emotional supports they need. But what I tell parents is that it's important to, especially with our teachers, like we need to align with them and try to build a relationship with them and work together to figure out how to get a child's needs met in the classroom and be an advocate. You know, unfortunately, that's a role that many of us have to play, and that it can be uncomfortable for a lot of parents. But our kids deserve to be able to learn the way that they learn and to feel good about who they are. So it's probably the area of most pain and stress for parents raising exceptional children.
And another one that you emphasize a lot is get out of isolation and connect. This is both for your own well-being and to find what's possible and to learn tricks others have. Is that correct?
Yeah, as I said earlier, that sense of isolation is really unhealthy. I mean, it's a very real thing for many parents. They just can't imagine that anyone else really knows what's going on. And because there's a lot of stigma associated with some of these differences, they're also often afraid to be open about their challenges because they are concerned about judgment or that people will see their child differently. And so it is really important to find your people, to find people who are going through the same thing, for connection, for resources, to know that you're not alone, and so that you can actually realize, oh, you know, there are ways to move through this. And my child isn't an aberration. You know, my child is just part of this other community, and that's okay. And that's part of what I've created through Tilt Parenting. And now there are Tilt Together groups that are cropping up around the U.S. and some other countries where people are meeting in real life, which has been really, really exciting to see.
We're talking with Deborah Reber, R-E-B-E-R, author of Differently Wired, Raising an Exceptional Child in a Conventional World. It's published by Workman and is available on Amazon and I assume many of the other sites. So we only have a minute or two left if we can. Deborah, so can you talk to me about parent from a place of possibility instead of a place of fear? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think fear mode is where a lot of us spend our time because, again, the map or the path for our child's kind of journey is really unclear. Our kid might not just be going to the neighborhood school and then middle school and high school and college and job, you know. There are probably going to be a lot of detours along the way. And in that unknown, we can often start to panic about, well, what's going to happen? What will the future look like? And we can spiral and really live in that place of fear. And when we do that, you know, no one knows what the future holds. But when we kind of keep our thinking stuck in fear, then we really make our world so much smaller and make what's possible for a child so much smaller. So this is really about setting an intention every day to think about, okay, you know, yes, those are valid concerns and I can't make them go away, but how can I focus on what might happen? You know, maybe this is actually the exact path my child's supposed to be on. Maybe his or her neurodifferences are the thing that's going to, you know, help them be a really fulfilled adult and contribute something amazing to society someday. So we want to kind of recognize when we're in that fear space, and as much as we can, try to flip it around and just consider the possibility that maybe things are exactly the way they're supposed to be.
This is the we've been talking with, I should say, with Deborah Reber, R-E-B-E-R, author of the book Differently Wired. And I want to say it's really a wonderful, wonderful book. And Deborah, my wife runs the developmental pediatric unit at the Case Western Reserve University, at University Hospitals in Case Western Reserve. And I showed her some of this yesterday in my preparation for this, and she loved the book as well. This is a wonderful book, Deborah Reber, Differently Wired by Workman. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast. This is 953B. I think I've got that right, 953B. And I want to thank you for downloading us and listening. That's what motivates us. Kevin for great engineering. And, of course, Deborah Reber, author of Differently Wired, for joining us. Thanks again. Remember the A segments, news of the week and what it means to you. The B's are great guests like Deborah Reber. Thanks again.